This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Today we're going to get healthy. We just are going to get healthy. The President of the United States has given an executive order that says we must do something to help make our kids healthy again. They're too sedentary. Too much watching their cell phones and screens and so on, not getting outside, not getting out the exercise that they need, not developing the physical exercise, and they're getting fat. They're getting obese. The same is happening with their parents and their grandparents. And so today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about how we are going to get healthy again. Apparently, the President of the United States is concerned about this. Apparently, his helpmate, not his wife, but his helpmate there, Robert F. Kennedy, is there behind him to help get America healthy again. We can't just continue doing the same thing that we've been doing and expect change, can we? They call that insanity. So we don't want to be insane, do we? You don't want to be insane. In fact, the exercise that we're talking about and some of the other health benefits actually will prevent the insanity, or at least dementia, slow it down, maybe even prevent it. So all of those things are part of the program here today on Viewpoint. And I'm so glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. You say, well, you know, didn't the Apostle Paul write to Timothy saying bodily exercise profiteth little? Well, yes, but he was making a comparison. He didn't say it profited nothing. And besides which, those folks in those days got a lot of physical exercise because they didn't ride their cars and their motor scooters and their bicycles. They walked everywhere they went. They got their 10,000 steps in a day. They didn't have to be concerned about that. So Paul was writing about an additional kind of exercise, such as perhaps they would get when they went to a gym and focused on bodybuilding, so to speak. But we're not talking about bodybuilding here. We're talking about body strengthening. We're talking about body health, the longevity, the ability to perform and function the way God would have us to do so that we can fulfill his requirements in our life, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So bodily exercise may, comparatively speaking, profit little, comparatively little compared to spiritual exercise, but we're not doing spiritual exercise either. We're becoming flabby spiritually, flabby physically, flabby emotionally, and so on, and we just become an increasingly flabby people. It's just that way. So we got to do something about that. And today on Viewpoint, Coach Crismeyer is going to step into that role for 5 years. I was a coach there in Southern California as I was going to law school in the evenings, and I really enjoyed that time. Whatever I required of my students, I did myself. I didn't expect them to do anything that I was not willing to do, and so I did. I deplored the idea of the pot-bellied coaches that I had seen over the years that seemed to be so physically unfit, and yet were demanding that the kids be fit. And so I determined I was going to not be a coaching hypocrite, but rather be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving myself and even the students. So I did that, and I enjoyed that. I appreciated it. Did every student want to do some of those things? No. So what I did, I encouraged them to change their want-tos. I did that by doing things myself, showing them what could be done, and then exhorting them and helping them to see how they could do better for themselves. And God wants us to do the same thing. In fact, President Trump is trying to encourage us to do the same thing by his executive order that he has just passed down to reinstall the presidential physical fitness program for school kids. The presidential physical fitness program for school kids. I think it's a great thing. an absolutely great thing. It's a travesty what Barack Obama did back there in 2012 when he completely got rid of that program that had existed from 1956 under Eisenhower moving forward. I remember as a kid in school, grade school, and then moving into junior high school, going through physical fitness program. We had to do pull-ups. We had to do sit-ups. We had to do push-ups. And then we also had to do a distance run. I can't remember at that time whether it was a 600-yard run or a mile run. And then also we had to do a you would run back at like a relay, back and forth, a short distance, and back and forth to coordination and quick speed and so on. So we had to do those things, and we had to do them twice a year so that we could see what was happening with our physical fitness. I thought that was a great thing as a kid. I didn't exactly like the pain that I felt after doing all those sit-ups, always trying to get 100 sit-ups in, whatever it was, 2 or 2.5 minutes, and the residual pain that came from that. I didn't appreciate that, but I did enjoy and appreciated the opportunity to, shall we say, compete against myself. Not so much compete against other people, but compete against myself to do the best that I could under those minimal testing situations. It's a great thing to reinstall in our schools. Another thing that would be great to reinstall in our schools doesn't necessarily have to do with fitness, well, at least not physical fitness. It has to do with fitness to be able to do basic work around the house as you grow up. And it's been a travesty that we ceased and desisted to have shop classes mandatory for junior high students across the country. The shop classes that I had to undergo, wood shop and metal shop, have been so useful to me over the years. We should reinstall those. I encourage the president to do that. Also, for the young ladies, to reinstall homemaking skills, whatever title you want to use, sewing, cooking, and so on, homemaking skills for the young ladies in, say, the junior high era of school, so that they can be prepared to do things that are basic essentials for life, equipped to handle their families if they don't have other additional education and training and so on. These are essentials and should have been part of our educational program and need to be reinstalled. I hope I hear some amens out there. But for that, we go back to the matter of our health, our physical health, and we're going to focus on that for the balance of the program here today. 1 in 10 early deaths could be prevented if everyone engaged in a small amount of daily exercise, such as a brisk 11-minute walk, said a large study that just came out. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Might encourage you. We need all the encouragement we can get, don't we? We should get some of this encouragement from the pulpits, from the pews, everywhere we go. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, today we are encouraging ourselves before God, who created us in his image to bring glory to his name by the activities that we do, the choices that we make, the balance of our lives with regard to pursuing that which is spiritual, that which is physical, that which is relational, that which is emotional, that which is financial, and so on. We need a proper balance of those things in our lives. We know that our spiritual pursuits are the most important, because if we lose our anchor with the Lord in our relationship with Him on a daily basis, everything else pales in relative insignificance. However, I want to share something with you that I feel greatly, I'm committed to this, and that is those who are willing and able to, shall we say, pursue basic physical fitness with discipline are much more likely to pursue spiritual discipline. And when things really get tough, when the choices out there really get tough, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So if we would toughen up spiritually, we should also toughen up physically. Because if we don't, we give up easily. I hope you're listening very carefully. Those who do not toughen up, both spiritually and physically, will give up easily when the going gets tough. They will not be overcomers, but will be overcome. Now, I'm exhorting here pretty strongly because I pretty much know what I'm talking about. Having gone through the physical fitness programs and having gone through many of these different tests over the years, even in college, and having engaged in the pursuit of basic physical fitness my entire life, certainly since I was 18, having a basic minimal weight workout and regime that takes me about 10, 15 minutes a day, max. Max. I don't have more time to devote to it. I don't have time to go running off to a gym somewhere. I bring the minimal things into my home, into my garage, so that I can take care of them there and not waste time. But I do know that I need to engage in those things to be strong physically so that I can be strong mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All right. That having been said, let me just share a few things with you here. Physical activity is known to reduce the risk of heart disease, cancer, and other leading causes of death, but exactly how much is needed to have an impact has been somewhat unclear until now. So an international team of researchers pooled together the results of 196 previous studies, which included more than 30 million people, to create one of the largest reviews ever on the subject. They calculated that around one in every six early deaths would have been prevented if everyone in the studies had at least 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity physical activity. 150 minutes a week, 7 days, that would be 20 minutes a day approximately. The level recommended by Britain's National Health Service. But even half that amount, 75 minutes a week, or less than 11 minutes a day, could prevent 1 in 10 of those deaths, according to the analysis. That included a 17% reduction of heart disease and a 7% fall in cancer. For a person who engages in less to no physical activity, 11 minutes a day led to 23% lower risk of early death. So if you started out from almost nothing, 11 minutes a day cut your risk of early death by 23%. All you need to do is find a little bit time, more about 10 minutes every day. And if you don't have to go to the gym to do these types of activities, it's just part of daily life. You can get down and you can do sit-ups. You can do push-ups. You can do squats right there in your bedroom. You can get a little, some little dumbbells, and you can, of course, you may have a lot of dumbbells running around your house. Just joking, but you can buy some dumbbells of a weight that you can use. Ladies, even if you're in your later years, you need to be doing this. You need to be exercising your body, your muscles, your bones. It's necessary for your bones. They are built and strengthened by resistance. One lady told me that the stairs in her home were one of the greatest things that she ever had, because it requires that she goes up and down those stairs a number of times a day, and it's resistance that is providing the necessary exercise for her bones and her muscles to strengthen her. So there are many things that we can do, and it does not take a lot of money. If you're a guy, you might want to have a bench in your garage, or a simple, inexpensive bench with a barbell. I prefer free weights like that, and you don't have to have a lot of weight. I used to use more weight. Now I'm not interested in building bulk. I'm interested in keeping strong and flexible and making sure that my bones are strong, that my muscles are all functioning properly. So I do what some people would mock. I do 10 curls with 70 pounds every other day. I do 10 curls with dumbbells, a forward arm curl with dumbbells. I believe it's 15 pounds that I'm using for that. And then I do some curls over my head with a bar that's about 30 pounds. I do 10 of those three times a week. I do bench presses with 100 pounds, 15 bench presses with 100 pounds three times a week. That keeps my bones, my muscles, in good shape. It keeps my body in good shape. I don't have to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not looking so good these days anyway. No, I want to keep in modest exercise program. Then, in addition to that, I work in the yard a little bit every day. Keeps me limber, allows me to get some stretch into my heart rate and so on. And overall, I find those things to be what keeps me energetic to be able to do the things that I do, including being on the air with you with a clear mind, and also to write with inspiration and a clear mind to get the books out that I do. These things are all, they all work together, like a horse and carriage, you know. Love and marriage like a horse and carriage. Okay, so we have exercise, and again, we need to get our kids exercising. So the president is to be commended for his executive order today to reinstate the presidential fitness program for our kids. Next is sleep. The Jerusalem Post had a piece, sleep is an essential for brain health as exercise. Insufficient amounts of sleep can have a more severe impact on your cognitive performance than a lack of physical inactivity, as well as hasten the onset of dementia, according to a new study. Keeping a healthy brain as you age requires good care of your body. The study's authors note that the physical exercise and sleep go hand in hand in increasing the longevity of your brain. So in this study, researchers weighed the impacts of sleep quality versus physical exercise on cognitive function over time among adults. And they found that both went hand in hand. Another article came out, sleep is nature's medicine. More research seems to come out daily on how important quality sleep is to our health. Here are some of the benefits of sleep. Now remember, we don't want too much sleep. We're talking about 7 to 8 hours a night. That's generally considered to be the expected healthy level of sleep for the majority of adults. 7 to 8 hours a night. Here are some of the benefits. More energy. When you get the optimal quality and quantity of sleep, your body repairs and clears away the metabolic waste products that accumulate in your brain as you use energy. So 8 hours of sleep power washes all the gunk away. Rest your body so you can step out of bed feeling refreshed, restored, and revitalized. It slows. Sleep slows the aging process. It requires fewer medications. It reduces the risk for diabetes. Sleep loss seems to put otherwise healthy individuals at a higher risk of developing diabetes. And you don't want that, friends. It strengthens your heart. A 2019 study found that a 20% increase in heart attacks in people who slept less than 6 hours a night. It may promote weight loss. It produces better balance. When you're sleep deprived, you're just as impaired as if you were drunk. Improved athletic performance. Healthier hair. Boosts your immune system. And reduces the risk for cancer. Now that's quite a list. Sleep, nature's medicine. So, we want to engage in things that are going to be beneficial to us. Remember, we're told that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, would you want the temple of the Holy Spirit to go into disrepair? Would that be a proper care of that which has been entrusted to us to do God's will while on this planet? No, it would not. Would you be interested in knowing one of the greatest benefits to help your heart, your psychological stress in daily life? Are you interested in that? Well, here it is. The new study findings reveal that practicing gratitude helps you process the psychological stresses of daily life. If you're not grateful, you're a complainer. You're always looking at the dark side. You know people like that, that always see negative. They don't seem to be grateful for anything. There are all kinds of things we can be grateful for, even in the midst of trouble. We need to focus on those that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things and put those things on your lips. In everything, God says we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us. I cannot overestimate or overemphasize the purpose and power of gratitude. It's a unique stress buffering effect on both our reactions and recovery from acute psychological stress. Will help your marriage, my friend. It will have profound effects on your marriage. Gratitude. Now, Coach Chris Myers here exhorting us here today. We're not coming prophetically. We're coming as a coach. And there are people who actually call me Coach Chris Meyer because they understand that that's the spirit with which I come on the air. It's the spirit with which we teach in our congregation, with which I deal with individuals as a coach. But a coach isn't going to let his team get by with a lot of nonsense. If he were, he'd be fired as a coach, wouldn't he? We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
How can we live lives that will glorify God, not only in what we say, what we think, what we teach, but how we live? How we take care of our bodies. You see, we need to take care of our souls in spirit, but we also need to take care of these bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're here to enable us to accomplish God's will for as long as we live on this planet. So, we need to be good stewards of these bodies, don't we? We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be slovenly. We don't want to be slothly. We want to be as careful and as concerned about these bodies as we are about the rest of what we do. We don't want to be over-concerned about our bodies, because then we turn our bodies into quasi-idols. So we're not here to try to be bodybuilders, per se. We're here to be body strengtheners and keep us alive and well so that we can best do what God would have us to do and be without inhibition and without undue risk. We want to be ready. Now, one of the things that's coming out here is that olive oil boosts your brain health. It's linked to a 28% lower risk of fatal dementia. That's big. Olive oil, linked to 28% lower risk of fatal dementia. So a recent study suggests that incorporating olive oil into one's diet could help reduce the risk of death from dementia. Opting for olive oil, a natural product, instead of fats such as margarine and commercial mayonnaise, is a safe choice and may reduce the risk of fatal dementia. We don't need to go into all the depths of this. All we need to know is the simplicity of what is being suggested and provided. Too many people are too interested in going into too many depths, and then they get confused and they miss out on the very purpose for which we're discussing it. If you were taking just brief little bullet point notes from this program, you would be able to have the necessary ingredients to improve your health dramatically. You would. Probiotics may improve cognitive function as well. Many people turn to probiotics for their digestive woes, but a new study suggests that what's good for the gut may also be good for aging brain. That makes sense, because we're interconnected. Older adults with mild cognitive impairment, where memory and other thinking skills are starting to slide, but people can still carry out their daily tasks. So researchers found that those individuals took a particular probiotic for 3 months, their mental abilities improved. And those improvements correlated with specific changes in their gut bacteria. We're interconnected, friends. The things we put in the mouth affect what comes out at the other end, or what comes out of our mouth, or what comes out of our minds. Now, before we go further, I know that you're aware of this, but I'm going to make it aware, right, more aware right here in the middle of the program. We've been on the air now for 30 years, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home. Today is somewhat different than some of the things that we focus on, generally speaking, but they matter. They don't matter nearly as much as some other things, but they do matter. And they matter a lot. And that's why we're focusing on it. It's like we're discipling for destiny. We're encouraging people, not with some kind of generic Bible teaching, but things that actually apply the scriptures in ways that bring about change in our lives, change that you can believe in. And so, you know that it takes a very significant amount of money to keep this program on the air. Just on the radio station that you may listen to, if you're listening to this program on a terrestrial radio station, it costs us at least $1,000 a month to keep the program on that station. Sometimes more. Depends on the station. Then again, those of you who are listening via the internet, it costs us $2,500 a month just to keep the program available to you. Then if you're listening on various other sites, like OnePlace or like the Charisma Podcast Network, it costs us another $1,000 to $2,000 a month. And that's just for beginning. Now, where does that money come from? We don't have any money in and of itself. We don't have any deep pockets. We don't have any huge congregation to underwrite it. We don't have any sugar daddy to underwrite it all. We trust in the Lord and have from day one, 30 years ago. But when we trust in the Lord, you see, He has no heavenly counterfeit machine. You have never seen God dump money out from heaven. So how does he work? He works in and through those who call themselves by his name. Because it's a kingdom. And it's a kingdom economy. That's how he works. And so he inspires men and women, just like you, to assist in doing his will. That's what it means to become a partner with a ministry such as this. So if you value what you hear on this program, if it encourages you, strengthens you, challenges you, and even corrects you, those are all wonderful things. That's part of discipleship. That's something worthy of support, isn't it? Or even diagnosing the issues of our time from a biblical standpoint so that we can understand and respond and be prepared to respond to them. That's what we do on Viewpoint. The very books that have been written and provided are all for those purposes. They're not like most other books. They're all in an order to prepare you for the times that we're in and that are coming. That's what they are. So, I hope, friend, you will take seriously becoming a partner with us. Maybe you have other commitments, and that's understandable. We're trusting God, and he's trusting you. We're trusting God, and he's trusting you. So, if he moves upon your heart to give, then don't turn him down. Because you're going to put yourself in a very negative position with regard to God's blessing if you do that. Wherever God moves you to give. This is not intended to be a coercive diatribe here, but help you to understand the reality of what it means to be on the air and to fulfill God's calling to do a ministry like this, which we have now done for over 30 years. A long obedience in the same direction. That's what faith is. So thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll take that to hand. Go to our website, saveus.org. You can make a generous gift there. You can sign up for a standard monthly donation there that we call it automatic donation. You can write a check. You can call us and give us your credit card and whatever gift that you are motivated, moved upon to give. And I believe that God will bless you. We're not going to make idle promises to you. I don't have the authority to do that. To say, well, if you do this, you're going to get that. No, it's not that way. It's God who provides the blessing. And God loves a cheerful giver. So do those things, and I believe that God will bless you accordingly. All right. Now we get back to this exercise thing. Sorry about that, friends, but we do. 20 minutes of exercise daily lowers depression risk. That's the next one. A moderate to vigorous physical activity 5 days a week is associated with fewer symptoms of depression and reduced incidence of major depression. Now, that's a big deal because more and more people are depressed. One of the reasons they're depressed is because they're lazy and they're just not engaged in anything. And the less you're engaged, the more depressed you become. He who has a why to live can withstand almost any how. So if we're giving ourselves to something minimal, like some form of moderate exercise, physical activity that's doing something, that's going somewhere, over a period of time, we will find that it helps to dispel depression. Next, we keep talking about slowing brain aging. A new study from the Australian National University found that increasing your intake of foods that are rich in magnesium can lead to less brain shrinkage as we age. And this, in turn, is linked to better cognitive performance and a lower risk of dementia. Now, to use modern language, lingo, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Get me my magnesium. The higher the magnesium intake in women was more beneficial than for men, possibly due to the estrogen factor. Increasing one's consumption of magnesium-rich foods, starting in the early 40s or younger, can slow brain aging. Remember that for your kids, friends. These are really, really helpful hints. I take them seriously myself. I really do. If you only knew, we'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Let's stick with magnesium for just a moment. The foods that are richest in magnesium include red bell peppers, spinach, watercress, dark chocolate, cucumbers, black beans, pinto beans, chickpeas, and lentils. They're also outstanding sources of the mighty mineral, as are almonds, cashews, and peanuts. Almost every day I eat some almonds, a handful of almonds and cashews. I try several times a week to eat a square of dark chocolate. Not just any chocolate, dark chocolate. All these things help to strengthen our bodies, our immune systems, and also protect us against that horrible name, Alzheimer's or dementia. The crucial mineral is the number one neuroprotector of your brain. Magnesium affects learning, memory, and mood along with other factors. So, since it's very hard for us to get all the magnesium that we need in our foods, we need a supplement. Every day, I take a supplement. I believe it's 500 milligrams of magnesium every day. Can you see why? I do take these things seriously. Because this body is all I have. If you lose your health, wealth means nothing, right? You lose some of your memory and thinking abilities as you age, but nutrients called flavanols might help thwart that decline. So the research is the pinnacle of 15 years of work showing that flavanols seem to benefit the brain's hippocampus that is critical to memory. So, how do we get these flavanols? Well, we get them through things like berries, dark chocolate, grapes, citrus fruits, cocoa, green tea, onions, hot peppers, kale, broccoli, and spinach. So, where are you figured in your eating with regard to those items? We need to get a balanced diet. Check out the idea of flavanols. It might seem like a big word, but it's not really a big word, and it will lead us to find the kinds of foods and supplements that are needed. So, one article tells us that there are 12 dementia risk factors that you can change. This is change you can believe in. Dementia causes are expected to skyrocket as our population ages. We know that. Everybody talks about it. Currently, there are 55 million people with the condition. Cognitive decline. Dementia is currently the seventh leading cause of death, one of the major causes of disability and dependence among older people, according to the World Health Organization. So while age is the major risk factor for dementia, researchers have identified 12 potentially modifiable risk factors. And here they are. In other words, these are something that we can do something about. One is gain more education. In other words, activate your mind. The less educated you are, the more prone you are to dementia and Alzheimer's. Get your brain active. Study something. Read things that matter. Get your mind to thinking. Get some of the books that we offer here on this program that will get your mind to thinking. It's not just about entertainment, friends. It's about getting our minds to thinking. Activate our minds. Hypertension. Cutting down on hypertension. And high blood pressure. Hearing impairment. So what do? Get a hearing aid. If you don't get the hearing aid, you're going to struggle because you're not going to hear, and gradually it's going to move you increasingly into a cognitive dissonance with the rest of the world, cognitive decline, and dementia. Smoking. Man, it suffocates your brain. It suffocates your lungs. Obesity puts greater stress on every system in your body. Somebody today said, Chuck, you look so buff. I said, well, looks are deceiving. I need to lose at least 20 pounds. No, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I need to lose at least 20 pounds because it's getting harder and harder to maintain weight. Yes, it is. So we all have to deal with these issues, and we have to recognize when we need to deal with them. Depression. How are you going to deal with depression? Well, engage in things that matter. Have a hobby. Serve other people. Engage. Don't just be a life drifter. Physical activity. There we go again. True physical activity. Diabetes. You lose weight, you may just recover from the diabetes. Maybe. Low social contact is a terrible contributor to Alzheimer's and dementia. So give yourself to others. Get out there. By faith, if necessary. But get out there. Become a person whose heart is filled with holy hospitality. Ask God to open your mind and your heart to other people. Excessive alcohol consumption. I would say any alcohol consumption. John Piper, the pastor, recently had an article out that any alcohol consumption affects your true control and your spiritual life. That's what he said. You can ask me, if you would like, do you drink alcohol? The answer is no. Never have, and never will. Do you smoke? No, never have, and never will. Why? Because those things are not helpful at all to maintaining a body and a spirit that's honoring to God. You might say, well, does the Bible prohibit alcohol? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But that doesn't mean that I have to engage in it because I know what it does. The book of Proverbs is filled with illustrations of what it does. To distort our self-control, our wisdom, our thinking. So these are things, friends, that you can engage in. You can do things. Don't say there's nothing I can do. We're giving you direction as to what can be done. By the way, here's an article here that we're speaking about alcohol. 7 ways drinking alcohol can impact your gut health. We're not going to go into all the details there, but it affects your immune system, your liver, digestive issues, irritation from ingredients and mixers, risk of diabetes, mental health issues, dehydration, all these things drinking alcohol at all affects. Now, there are some natural appetite suppressants, and people are always looking for some way to get dominion over hunger and so on. Well, here are a few that can curb the appetite. Almonds reduce the risk of heart disease while quelling the appetite. Ginger. Men who ate ginger experienced a reduction in appetite. Avocados. People feel fuller after eating a meal that includes half or a full avocado. Eggs, protein-rich eggs. Eating an egg for breakfast instead of a bagel helps keep you feeling fuller and longer. By the way, eggs have the purest protein ever and will reduce your desire for more food after breakfast until lunch. Sweet potatoes. Lots of dietary fiber in sweet potatoes, so it remains in your stomach longer, creating a feeling of satiety. Dark chocolate, a natural appetite suppressant, because the bitterness in the chocolate signals the body to decrease your appetite. Cinnamon may help lower blood sugar and fight diabetes by imitating the effects of insulin. In fact, cinnamon is one of the very best things you can do to combat the onset of diabetes. Salmon, another excellent source of appetite-suppressing protein. A 3-ounce portion of salmon contains 17 grams of protein. High levels of omega-3 fatty acids. High protein diets help signal to the body that you are full. And that's what we need. Some people, and I have to tell you that I find the higher the protein, the longer lasting the food and the less hungry. Avocados. Here's an article that says you really, really need to eat some avocados this weekend. Healthy, unsaturated fats, good for your heart. Micronutrients like potassium and other vitamins and minerals. Fiber, a surprising source of fiber. Eating 2 or more servings of avocado a week associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular disease, and on it goes. Finally, we were talking about proteins. The 18 best high-protein foods to help you feel strong and satisfied. All right. So here they are. Are you ready? Chicken. 4 ounces serving contains 26 grams of protein. Wow. Turkey. Also a very good source of protein. Salmon, as we've already noticed, 17 grams of protein in just 3 ounces of salmon. Tuna, another high-protein fish that can be cooked in many ways. 24 grams of protein in 3 ounces of salmon. Lean beef, there's another one. 18 grams of protein in a 3.5-ounce serving of 90% lean ground beef. Cottage cheese, 12 grams of filling protein in just 1/2 cup of cottage cheese. Black beans, 10 grams of protein in 1 cup of black beans. Eggs, we know about that, very powerful. 1 egg contains about 6 grams of protein. But the interesting thing is, it's pure protein. Peanut butter. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter will give you about 7 grams of protein. Flax seeds, nuts, chia seeds. Well, that's just for starters, friends. And remember, just add 500 steps daily benefits the hearts of seniors. Just 500 steps beyond what you're doing. The idea of getting 10,000 steps of is bandied around is a good walking goal, but maybe you could get 7,500. Can you imagine what that would do? Or even 2,000 if you're only getting 1,000 a day. In other words, moderation in all things, but let's have a goal. I hope you do have a goal after today. Thanks for joining us. Again, become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.